Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boom! It's the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming here. Bradley Hodge, when he gets off the phone. You're just texting there?
No.
Is it an employment opportunity?
It wasn't employment, it was my wife, actually.
Okay.
Yep, seeing how she's going. Boy's home. He's homesick today from school, so just checking in that everything's okay.
Okay. Well, he'll be able to watch the Bowlology Report as well, which is good. We'll get through the Aussies... bad loss in the second test match. Their build up in the T20s to Pakistan. The Australian women are going really well on their way to hopefully win the T20 World Cup in Caribbean. Sheffield Shield is flying. Plenty of opportunities there. Some news in the Big Bash. Social media self-promoter. I'm looking forward to who you've got in the gun this week, Bradley. Mm. But when we talked about your re-engagement with LinkedIn last week, social media lit up. Can you give us an update on potential employment opportunities for yourself, and then also has anyone actually contacted you and said, Hodge, here's a job?
Well, no, I'm still sort of, I can't say I'm actively seeking, as I said last week, but I'm sort of...
You're perusing, or you're cruising,
just,
one of those.
Just on the outskirts. But look, there was a few things that came across my LinkedIn profile this week. There's a few I'll read out to you. They're not overly attractive, I don't reckon. But this one in particular, which is a centre director, but it's for non-profit. So I'm not sure how I'm actually going to get paid there. So
that's
out.
There's management fees there. You'll be getting a nice whack. And giving back something to the community.
Well, that's possibly where I could go. Another one, which is in the city of Port Phillip, which is not far from where I live, which is maternal and child health nurse.
Yeah.
I'm not actually a qualified nurse, so I'm not actually sure how that came up on my LinkedIn.
But you've batted in partnerships. You know how to give. You know how to say, if you're batting with a young player, a fast bowler, I'll take the fast bowler. So maybe they just
got it because of my age.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that might be it. Part-time retail store associate
in
Sunnybank, Queensland.
Yeah.
Not sure the wife's going to relocate for that one for $20
an hour. You know, the ultimate job for you, I would have thought, and it's going to be a bit hard now because we're not in the late 80s, mid 90s, would be retail assistant at Brashers. Remember Brashers?
Yes, I do remember Brashers.
Music store. That's
exactly.
That would have been your go. You could listen to music, play music, and sell some vinyl.
Cool. I would do that. There's a couple more, but this one in particular... Foreign Exchange Communication Specialist.
Yes.
I mean...
You're in.
I reckon that's right up my alley, because I've been paid in a number of currencies across the world.
A couple.
US dollars.
Rand.
Rand. What else
Rupees.
We got? Rupees. I'll take anything, let's be honest.
And you're very cagey. You know the exchange rates and where to go. So I'm going to... Do you press like or is there an interest button?
You can be an early applicant, so you've got to send your CV in.
Has there been anything from crypto startups? Any potential into that sort of market?
No, there hasn't really.
Michael Clark was going down that route.
How did he go?
No, it's a retirement. He won't be going down that route, no. They're in a bit of trouble.
Well, maybe. I mean, Michael was... maybe I might have to ring him and see what happens in this space when you're unemployed and looking forward for some employment.
Well, I would think you'd find that Michael Clark is very busy over in India.
Is that what he's doing?
A lot of TV over there.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty good pup. He's well
known.
Haydos. Well, Haydos can't be doing anything. He got bunged up last week.
He's got a broken neck. Well, but he could still do a selfie.
Yeah, he could. He could. There's one more which okay. all of us could probably fall under. And I got excited about this because I thought it was related to cricket. It says test administrator, but it's actually UGL. So it's not actually anything to do with cricket.
Are they sponsoring the test
series? No, they're not. No, they might.
Because then I would think you need Bradley Hodge.
Yeah, but anyway, that's it's not looking good.
Okay. Keep them in, though. Make sure you... did you find an increase in people that wanted to follow you or link into you?
I haven't actually got...
Look, okay, this week, start accepting people.
I have, but what it says on my LinkedIn profile is, I think there's beginner. I'm actually infant, I reckon. I'm actually even before beginner.
Watch out for this bike.
I haven't even been impregnated yet.
Hey, I tell you what, we had a lot of listeners last week and a lot of views on social media, but a shout out, and we do this quite often to our unique listeners, to the four Swedish listeners. Thanks for listening to the Bowlology Report. And you know I am all over Swedish cricket, and they've just been participating in the European region qualifier C for the T20 World Cup and had a riveting win over the Czech Republic by six runs. And, you know, they're celebrating, singing the song, probably an ABBA song, might be Waterloo or Take a Chance on Me. They're flying and all this. They're going to the World Cup, but they lost in a game.
No way.
To Guernsey. I have never heard of that.
Is that like
country.
The Isle of Wight, Isle of Man? Guernsey's a place off the coast of England.
Are you sure of that? Because I think there's something fishy here. I don't think there is a country called Guernsey because man of the match for Guernsey got him over the line.
Right.
A Josh Butler.
No way.
52 off 45. There was also a Stokes that was playing.
Wow.
Don't tell me Guernsey just made up a country, put in a couple of English players, or South African and New Zealand. It needs to be investigated.
Well, the only thing I remember about Guernsey is that we went on a Guernsey and Isle of Wight tour when I played for Farnworth, and we got booted off.
Why?
Well, we didn't act in the appropriate behaviour.
Oh, okay.
So we thought cricket trips, that's what it was about.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's why I think I know where Guernsey is.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember where it was because I was too intoxicated to remember it. But
yeah, but that was part of the trip back in the heyday. Well, maybe we should get a respected investigator to see whether Josh Butler can't be just punching out 52 against my beloved Swedish cricket team who are trying to get into the Europe region.
Maybe sub-prode for Guernsey. You know how he used to sub-prode?
Can you do that?
I don't know. If you're an England player, can you sub-prode?
Oh, we'll get someone to investigate that. I would put up someone to investigate Al Jazeera.
They'll investigate. They got some.
Get in there investigating. They've released their second documentary, and we know they will leave plenty of stones unturned.
They've got concrete evidence.
Specifics.
Yep. Just on our listeners.
They are prepared not to name names.
Just on our Swedish listeners, have we grown 400%? Because I think from last time we looked, we only had one. And I thought that was Ingvar Kamprad, the IKEA co-founder.
It is.
But he passed away, unfortunately. So Vale, R.I.P. Ingvar. But I think there could be a couple of others. So the Spotify co-founder, Martin Lorentzen, is from Sweden. Now, if it is you, buddy, can you please help us get this out?
Get the Bowlology report
out. Yeah, a little bit more fluent. Get us out there.
Bowls off spinners.
Or it could be...
Maybe a suspect action.
Could be Madeline Olsen-Eriksson. Yeah. The ship magnate. Oh, I think if you're there.
So what have we got up to? Two names there?
Yeah.
And probably two other cricketers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done to Swedish. And we're going to investigate that. I want Sweden playing as high a level of cricket as possible.
Are they looking for a mentor or a batting role that could happen in the future?
I'm feeling LinkedIn all over this here. Yeah, Hodge, things you need to know in cricket this week. I've got a little bit of theme. Get your kicks bowling to the Aussie top six. And disappointing, a dreadful test match because we were pumped up last Bowlology report. That fighting draw in the second innings. Okay, they've adapted now. They've had two innings in these conditions. They're going to potentially win the next Test match. And when Pakistan were 5 for 57, when Gazza gets 4 wickets and 6 balls, I'm going 3-day Test. Aussie's going to be singing a song. From that moment, real trouble. And also, I just want to put into financial terms, because you're into LinkedIn now and you're into the corporate, well, potentially the corporate world. Players, Australian players are in the bull market, so it's on the rise. So we'd have to say that Usman Khawaja, the way he played in that first Test match, let's hope his knees are right for the first Test match. But
well, it doesn't sound good, does it, unfortunately?
Well, I'm hearing different reports. Some are going out for the summer, and then I saw on Twitter someone say, I had one of those and I was back in 5 weeks.
Right.
So he was a win. I think Finch has enhanced his reputation.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be an ongoing thing. We probably want him to go on and get hundreds because he's getting nice starts. But he looks
Do you know what my advice? My advice, just average 35, you'll stay in the side.
Well, you'll be captain. People call it. Warney wants him captain.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that later. Travis Head, I think, enhanced his reputation. A duck on his first bat, a 70 and a couple of starts.
He did well, better well.
So I'd expect Travis, just get a few shield runs. You were in. Marnus Labuschagne with the ball. Wasn't he a surprise packet? 7 wickets.
Yeah.
And landed them really well, really good in the field. I'm not sold with his batting yet, but I think shield runs will keep him in. I thought the way we played Yasir Shah, you know, he was the one that was going to run through us. 8 wickets at 37 for Yasir Shah. So for me, they're sort of the positives.
Real positives.
Have you got any other to add to that?
Look, no, you're spot on there. There's not a lot, actually, that you can be proud of. Not proud's not the word, but excited about after our performances. I think the one thing which keeps killing us...
If you lose, just a little bit of enhancement in your reputation.
Well, we're not. We're going backwards. So we showed a bit of character, I think, what JL would have been expecting. But the reality is that we hung on. We were never in that contest in the first test. We showed some character, but then, you know, we get pumped again in the second test. And now our record away from home is just diabolical. So this must be the 10th series that we've lost. So, I'm just curious as to what we're actually doing to get better. Certainly, if the stats don't add up for a lot of our players, I'll be honest, they're not great. But the positives, Usman was unbelievable. Finch just keeps going and getting better, and I think he'll have a huge impact. Heady, as you mentioned, was great. Marnus probably, he seems to be a pretty good all-round package, actually, but come from nowhere, and not a lot to back up his statistics.
I didn't put Nathan Lyon because I felt like, well, we'd just tick off another great series for Australia's greatest off-spinner of all time.
Yep.
Bear market. Ooh, on the decline. Sean Marsh averaged 3.
Marsh Brothers didn't have a great tour.
Mitch averaged 7.
Right.
My only half an excuse for Mitch was I don't know why he walked out at number 4 in that first test match. He's 2 test 100s.
Yeah.
He just started to emerge in that Ashes. Got a 90 against South Africa, but form fell apart a bit there. But I just think he's not a 4 for me.
No, he's not.
So bat him at 6, and then if he fails at 6, well, you go, boom, you're out. But to bat him at 4, I know he dropped a 5 in the second test, averaged 7.
Well, I think those two have had a diabolical series, let's be honest. And it can happen. It can happen in subcontinent conditions. But, you know, if you look at the overall statistics of Sean Marsh, we can't keep letting this happen. You can't just keep going on saying, oh, I'll make 2 good 100s against England and everything's back on track again, and then you come and you have a diabolical series like this as your premier batsman behind Usman Khawaja. Yeah. So he's 35 now. I really like Sean Marsh. I love watching him bat.
When he gets hundreds,
yep,
he looks the best batsman in Australia.
Yep.
Yeah, that laconic style, times the ball beautifully.
Yep.
But 42% of his test innings end in him not getting to double figures.
Well, it's not good enough. And I think he's in real trouble. I think they'll stick with him probably because there's nothing else out there which is screaming, give me a game. But what a blessed position to be in.
I think it's got to be tougher than that. I'm hoping, is there 2 more shield rounds or 3 more?
Yeah.
Regardless of that, real pressure for spots. And the other one I thought, unfortunately, Victorian zone, Johnny Holland, 4 wickets at 75, and in times in that second test match, it looked like the ball was going to Labuschagne before him.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Real trouble for the Duck, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a shame. He's had two incredible seasons with Victoria, and he's probably in the shadows of Nathan Lyon. I mean, as you mentioned, Nathan Lyon's up there in the top echelon of spin bowlers of what we've ever seen.
Yep.
And to be compared with him, as others have been compared with Warner, as a leg spinner, as a finger spinner, comparing Lyon to Holland is tough. But the reality is, 4 wickets on a spinning wicket at 75 is not ideal.
Okay, positives for Pakistan. Well, they will get plenty out of them. But we just keep talking about Muhammad Abbas. So it was 15 wickets at 10. And
oh, I don't get
Dale
it.
Stain. I mean, we love Dale Stain.
Yep.
You know, just a tweet. I think we've just seen the next number one bowler in the world.
Yeah.
He was the second, he was the slowest quick in that series. He swung the ball least in that second test match.
Yep.
Yet he just keeps getting the job done. He attacks the stumps. His fields are very good. I would think a tactic would be to move down the crease to take him on. Then they bring Safraz, the wicketkeeper, up to the stumps. It was a real inspiration for medium pacers. And we've got plenty in Australia who don't, you know, aren't really a threat to get a go.
Well,
it was amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. I'm not actually sure how he gets you out, to be honest. It's sort of 128, 130 with the odd little bit of effort.
But it's not like facing Philander, a similar pace bowler, who does really well in South Africa and in England, steady in other. He's doing it on dry, barren pitches.
Yeah, he's got
So what's he going to do? I mean, he got wickets in England. When he gets to say, South Africa and New Zealand.
Well, he'll tear them apart. You'd think. I mean, good on him. He's a seasoned campaigner that's worked his trade in Pakistan and understand what he has to do to be successful in those conditions. So good on him. I'm not sure I can see what Dale's going on about being the number one test bowler ever to go around this planet.
Well, he's a former number one test bowler himself. Surely he can hand the... Do they hand a cap over?
No. Well, I mean, if I was a batsman in test cricket, I'd probably be sticking my hand up to face Muhammad Abbas before Dale Steyn at his best.
Yeah.
Let's just see how things pan out over the next 3 years for Muhammad, but give him credit where credit's due. He was the quickest to 50 test wickets, wasn't he?
I think of all time.
And
it's got the lowest average in the last 100 years.
Well, it's got to be respected and got to be praised as well. It's a phenomenal performance. And I mean, he showed his skill to the Australians and, you know, he caught him
Talking
off.
About praise.
Yeah.
Fucker Zaman.
Oh, my God.
Well, on debut.
Yes.
97 and 60, where is it? 66. But more importantly, when we talked about that 5 for 57, him and Safraz just edged the game away. But he's a beauty. He's averaging 59 in 50 over cricket, averaged over 40 in first class cricket for Pakistan. I mean, he just looked fantastic. He looked composed.
Yeah.
He was good in defence in that first innings, played his shots where necessary. I reckon Pakistan have got a good one.
Well, as we said, he's the best fucker we've seen for a long time. His stats in the one-day games in Zimbabwe, playing against Australia, which was a pretty good one-day side.
Took
them on. Dominated, took them on. And I'm not surprised by any stretch of the imagination that he had a successful test match. He was one that came and he was able to take on Mitchell Starc's bouncer as well, which not many people can do. And, you know, put him on the back shoe. And then played a subdued innings in the second innings as well. So, I mean, this fucker, anything could be for this fucker. We just don't know. He could be the best in the world.
But do you imagine on debut, out for 97, so close to 100 on test rate. He is one unlucky batsman. Okay, the captain, Safraz.
Yeah.
Love him. He's a fighter. He put on 147 with Fakhar Zaman there, 94 and 81.
Yeah.
When they needed him to step up, there was criticisms of his captaincy. He addressed that after the first test match. Well, he basically helped him win his second test match,
look,
didn't he?
I'm not sure.
He's in the game, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the criticism came from. You know, he put their side in a winning position to win a test match in the first one, and Australia were good enough just to hold them at bay. But... yeah, second test match, they just ran all over us. Then And Safraz, with his aggression, especially with the bat as well, was very good.
Oh, no, he's full on.
But I thought his field placements were spot on. I thought their plans were good and they executed well. He backed their spinners, even though, you know, Yashir Shah didn't have a great series. He still backed him and gave him opportunities.
At the end.
Yeah, it's. I thought his leadership was very good. And his leadership in his one-day cricket, you know, has been outstanding. They won the Champions Trophy. And it's just shown he's going to get better and better.
And just commentating the Pakistan Super League early in the year, just asking Ramiz Raja and all those, I think just loves cricket.
Yeah.
Loves cricket, Safraz. So, well done to the skipper there. And Baba Azam, classy player. Really like him. Yep. 99. Yeah. Did you ever make a first class 99?
Not first class. I made 299s for Moorabbin Cricket Club in under 12s before I got a century.
Were you getting? How were you out? What were you?
Well, I got bowled. Only because the umpire at the time, there was no scoreboards.
I didn't know you were allowed to get. We had to retire at 25. What were they doing in that?
No, it was the final. So the finals, you could actually just bat for as long as you could.
Yeah.
So in the final, I got. He came out and he told me that I was on 99, and I bogged my pants and missed a straight one and was bowled next ball.
And that was the semi, was it?
Yeah, semi, and then final 99 court, maybe trying to slog one, as usual.
Some will say you never really recovered from that, Brad.
Yep. But back to Bubba. I mean, there was some serious batting. There's a classy knock.
Very good player.
They look strong. They look strong. The Pakistan players.
Well, they get
in the
Muhammad
squad.
Amir back into form too. They've got the left arm swing bowling there, so. What about the run-outs? There was a couple of, we called them brain fades, really. And first up, Manus Labuschagne.
Yeah.
What was happening there?
I got a stronger word, but I'm probably not allowed to say it.
Don't say it. Brain fade. We will be releasing this before 9:30.
I don't actually get brain fade. I just think it's...
Dumber. Well, it was Mark Waugh that called it brain fade, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
The funniest dismissal ever was when he played a reverse sweep against Tufnell at the Gabba and actually hit the ball onto the stumps.
Yeah.
And still come in and complained how unlucky he was.
Yeah, look.
That's Marky Waugh.
I'd love to know what Manus was actually thinking while he was watching
so
the ball.
Time to come. He watched it go onto the stumps.
I don't get it. Just in your first or second test match, you'd see Mike Hussey dive his whole body back into it. He couldn't believe it when he was commentating on it. Just how desperate you would be. Just get your body, get whatever you have to do inside the popping crease so you're safe. I can't believe it myself,
it
to be honest.
It was slow though too, wasn't it? It hit the finger and then just rolled into the
It's almost like he's never played cricket again and he was in under 12s and then the coach got to explain it to him that you've got to get back into the popping crease once, that's out.
Are they doing enough running between the wickets etiquette at the cricket academy? Are they?
I don't know.
Responsible? Name names.
Well, that might be a job for me. We've got every other coach under the sun.
Well, I believe Dean Jones does a lot of it when he's coaching.
He does, actually.
In the PSL and all that. Yeah. He gets them at the end. This is how you, you watch the finger as they're released. Although I did hear one player go, if Andre Russell's batting at the other end, I'm not watching the release. I'm watching the ball come this way. Fair call.
Yeah, fair
Samuel
call.
Patel. Listens to the biology report.
But what about the... Talk me through the Pakistan run out.
Azharali, who's a threat. We know what a great player is.
Gun
and he
player.
Got himself going. And if we can do a little bit of reactment here...
Ooh.
Was it who was actually bowling? I can't remember.
Mitchell bowling. Stark.
No, Starkey did the fielding.
Oh, he did too.
Yeah, so it wasn't spin, was it?
No, it was a quick because it went down to third man.
Look at Peter Siddle. And it's very Siddle sort of action. Nice and upright. Good release here.
Thickish outside edge.
Hits the edge out there. And it's interesting that they start to run between the wicket Safraz there. Mitchell Stark, the main man, chases the ball.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to dive. I don't know. This is a time you need to ball watch.
Yeah.
Not when it's in the inner ring. Mm. But when it's outside, you've got to go, did he have to dive for that? And that sort of stuff. Meanwhile, Azhar and, you know what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're glove punching. They're glove punching, not watching the ball, right?
Right.
So here, I wouldn't even say it's good fielding. It's just sort of, he's going, what's going on? Throws it into Paney.
Yeah.
Paney accepts the ball here and takes it. And he goes over a little bit, but I would as well.
Yeah.
Because that's a wicket just out of the blue.
Yes.
And we need to get another five to get ourselves batting. So they're all going in, and then obviously everyone runs in here. Sids is there. Oh, sorry. It's not quite working. And he has to go. And the captain's sort of going, what are you doing? And he's going, well, what are you doing? You're the captain. Then eventually he goes off here. But the reenactment was a little
That's
bit like...
That's spot on.
The criticisms we got. I read
an
article.
Around a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's Sean. Sean's just thinking about getting runs in the second innings here. But he got criticised, Tim Payne. Not in the spirit of cricket. Well, I'll challenge that. He actually did the right thing because when it gets publicity, this brain fade from Mazza Ali, who actually laughed it off in the press conference because they were in a good position, it just goes out to everywhere. Every test playing nation, all that. Make sure you never take anything for granted at run between. And the kids. We don't want kids just hitting it for boundary and going, oh, I can't be bothered running. I can't be run out. Anyway, well, this was, it's not in the spirit of cricket.
I thought he was taking a leaf out of Jason Armberger's book.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, but it's usually the opposite where... So I thought Sarfraz was only not running because it wasn't off his bat, which is like the cheeseburger, you know? So if he hit it, he would have run three. Because as Ali hit it, he was probably... He said, I only want to run. But as Ali was saying, if I go past, you're going to come back.
And Hodgie, we're progressing out of Test cricket now to T20 cricket. And not a great start for the Aussies. Pakistan batting first, 8 for 155. So that's... You know, when you're bowling, you're thinking we can chase that down. Obviously, Babar Azam took his 99 into this. He was 68, not out of 55. Best of the bowlers, Stanlake and Andrew Tai. I mean, they're pretty much ready-made for white ball cricket for Australia, aren't they? I mean, Stanlake, big, quick, bouncy, swings it. And Tai, right arm smorgasbord, fantastic.
Yeah, well, both of those guys have been outstanding the last sort of, you know, a year actually for Australia. I mean, as soon as Billy came in, he had a huge impact in T20 cricket for Australia. You know, bowling thunderbolts to the batsman, you know, swinging the ball early. And AJ is that banker that, you know, as a captain, you can throw the ball to any time. You just feel that he's got everything under control when he's got the ball. But, you know, that's a disappointing result for Australia. I think they would have been, you know, coming off. Aaron Finch taking the reins again as T20 captain would have been looking forward to, yeah, getting a good start after a pretty good test series. But, again, I just feel that our batting is, you know, it's either, you know, hit or bust.
Well, 89, and as you said, pretty much in the power play, the game's all over, just where you're trying to set it up. And they didn't need to be belting them to all parts, really. I think if they were 40 runs after the... You know, the first power play, they were well and truly in the game. But at 6 for 22, you're in a load of hurt. And Pakistan did well. Imad Wasim, you know, he's a very experienced left arm orthodox. He takes the new ball, and he bowled Finch and Short, and then they got quite a good varied attack. That young 17-year-old Shaheen, the left arm quick, saw him in the PCL. So they keep producing the big quicks, but, you know, an opportunity lost for a lot of those names, really, for the Aussies.
Well, I mean, that's not even Pakistan's best 11. You feel that Mohammad Amir would come back into that team at some stage, Shadab Khan. But, you know, four of their last 27 T20 games. So they're a very strong outfit, the Pakistan side. And it's their bowling, which, you know, generally... is really, really good. But you don't see too many teams blow out to 180, 185. But, you know, just in terms of our batting, I think this will be an adjustment for Justin Langer where, you know, at the Scorchers, they've got a pretty regimented batting lineup where, you know, it's easy pace at the start and then build to the end. Where, you know, the Aussies are pretty much chuck all the big guns out there and fast food, see how we can go and see how many we can actually score. It's a different tactic and, yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, the feedback of the players, but you know, I'd love to see a gun number four in there just to hold that position down, maybe Travis Head. You know, they can just have some experience in there. Maxi, you know, is hit or miss, but yeah, all in all, you just got to park it and move on to the next one.
Hey, we had a cracker. India West Indies overnight. India batting first. A young player called Virat Kohli got 100 for a change, 157.
Yeah, I heard he's not bad. I heard he's a good young upcoming player.
Of 129. Quickest man to 10,000 runs. So India, 6 for 321, and West Indies, 7 for 321. Shai Hope, who we know is a very classy young player, scored 200s in one test match against England. He smashed 123, so good to see there. But that's an amazing game. To think that you can get a close to 321 and they actually tied.
Well, that's a couple of games. You know that India's going to be a big scoring game. We saw Sri Lanka tailed off England just recently, scoring up near 350. So that's sort of the benchmark these days. You know, it's Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli, just 6-7 and overs, nothing for these guys. They're so talented and so skilled. And they time their run immensely, especially batting second there. They're so skillful to keep the pressure on the bowling group. But, yeah, who knows what's in store for Virat Kohli. He has to be up there with one of the best one-day players of all time. I think Ponting and him are probably on par, you know, in terms of the most destructive, you know, three or four.
Sir Vivian Richards up there. As a kid, like, I think he averaged 49 when everyone else was averaging around 20. But what about his stats, Hodgie? Virat Kohli, he's averaging 55 in test match cricket. He's averaging 60 in one day internationals and 49 in T20 internationals.
Well, that's as good as you can get, isn't it? I mean, how do you get him out? You just hope that God help Australia when he comes out here if he's in this sort of form. But I actually think India's T20 side looks a lot more formidable with the bat than their actual test side, you know? We've seen Rohit Sharma come in and he just sort of hasn't nailed it, but
he's a white ball superstar, as is Darwin. Raidu scored 73. Dhoni, they got part in there as a batsman. So and the bowling's strong. You know,
yeah,
Shami, Umesh Yadav, Kuldeep Yadav, Jadeja, Chahal played this game. So that's a few gun quicks not even playing.
Yeah, well, that's what makes him strong these days, isn't it? And, yeah, they're probably going to be up there leading the charge for the World Cup. In any form of cricket, actually.
Hey, talking about World Cups, though, the Southern Stars, our girls beat Pakistan 3-0 over there in Malaysia. There's a World Cup, obviously, in West Indies in November. Game one, won by 5 wickets. Megan Shoot and Nicola Carey, 3 wickets. Second game, 150-run win. Meg, 125. Rachel Haynes, 79. And then the third one, 89-run win. Alyssa Healy, 97. Ash Gardner smashed 62 off 37 and 3 wickets. So we've got the experience doing well there, but obviously with Ash Gardner, the younger players are obviously showing how good they are. So that's good signs going into a T20 World Cup.
No, it's very good signs. I think they're just building nicely. They've certainly got I think that's probably, what, their sixth game straight for our T20 team now. But they look like they've got a great variety as well in their bowling. You know, Shoot opens the bowling and moves the ball. Sophie Milliner's pretty cagey with her left arm orthodox. There's plenty of options for the girls to have a crack at. And, you know, with Meg in there smashing runs, you know, probably the best batsman, you know, that we've seen, you know, in girls cricket, where she's an elegant stroke maker. She does it easy. Probably up there with Belinda Clark, I guess, in terms of, you know, the best that we've seen.
Okay, moving on to Sheffield Shield. The games are starting today. From that first round, for the quicks, you know, who enhanced their reputation, Jackson Bird, 10 wickets, Tremaine, 9 wickets, Trent Copeland, 9 wickets. So they've been consistent wicket takers for a few years now, isn't it? I thought we talked about how Tremaine was probably unlucky not to be over there in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, a bit quicker than the other two boys, bowls reverse swing. But it's good for that next tier to be putting pressure on as Hazelwood and Cummins come back into it. Gabe Bell, swing bowler from Tasmania, I like his work, 4 for 17. He's got 36 wickets at 18 in his short Shield career. A little bit of Ashes might be on the cards for, you know, because I think when we go there next year, we need it. We've got the big quick pace bowlers, and I hope James Pattinson gets there as well, but I'd like to have a little swing bowler in there as well.
Well, we seem to make the, we seem to probably make the same errors every time we go there and not pick, you know, a Chad Sayers or a Trent Copeland or a Jackson Hurley. Give them five tests, you know, or they're going to have an impact. You know, that's why Jimmy Anderson's been so successful. You know, they move the ball, they shift the ball. And it doesn't matter how fast you are. If you don't move the ball, you know, they're good players. They're going to be able to find a way. There's probably only Mitchell Johnson that, you know, can rough people up whenever he wants to. But, you know, that's a rare thing as well. But, yeah, I don't know, but you probably know more about young Bell. But, yeah, I like the thought of Trent Copeland, you know, getting a look in again. He played a test match for Australia, so there's no reason why he's not better now than when he was when he played. But I like Chris Tremaine as well. He's aggressive. He bowls the odd bumper when he needs to, and he can rough a few feathers up. And he's a bit James Pattinson-like. You know, he gets the red or white ball in his hand and turns into a different human being and wants to smash some wickets down and get a few poles. So I like that sort of style.
How much would you have liked to have been a quick? B Hodge getting his runs, but like able to still bowl quick enough to bowl bounces. How much would you have loved that?
Well, do you know who I would have loved to have been? Duncan Spencer. Okay. Remember him? He was about the same height as me.
And bowled 100 miles an hour.
Oh my word, he was fast and scary and at the whacker. But I think if I was reincarnated as a fast bowler, that would probably be me.
Yeah.
But it's too hard, let's be honest. It's hard on your toes, your ankles, your knees. I'd much rather bat for a living, for sure.
Yeah, my surgeon was pretty happy with all the work that needs to be done there. And for the batting, there wasn't too many of the contenders that really put their hand up. Young Will Bukowski, 240-odd, but he's out of the next the game starting today with illness. So there's still opportunities, isn't there? You would think there is still at least one spot up for grabs in that top six for Australia.
Renshaw has to come in for sure for me and open the batting for Australia again, if not go back to Burns and probably see Aaron Finch shift into a middle order role. But we need Usman Khawaja back in the future. He's going to be a sore loss for us. But Marcus Stoinis has got a few runs of late. Darcy Short's been hitting him okay. So, you know, there's a few guys that are out there playing well. And Matthew Wade's also scored a few runs.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a big fan of picking someone who's a wicketkeeper as a batsman. I'm not sure that can work, but I think he'll put pressure on Tim Payne. You know, if things don't flow nicely in the future, he's taken a hard knock. He's got the sack and he's come back and he's scored runs. That's what he needs to do.
You might have to go back to that 1977 Ashes tour where Rod Marsh was the keeper. Richie Robinson, the Victorian keeper, actually opened the batting. A little bit of trivia for there, Bradley.
Free, well, there you go.
Free of charge. Okay, bit of BBL. And the Melbourne Stars have signed a young Nepalese leg spinner, Sandeep Lamashane, who is getting wickets for fun, basically. You would have seen him in the IPL for Delhi,
yeah.
CPL, in that the World Cup qualifiers, the associates. Taking 24...
Is he related to Manus?
No, there's no G. If you put the G in, they could be, but...
critical battery, please charge.
But 24 wickets at 2 in the Associates World Cup qualifier.
Who's he playing against?
I think it's the Swedish and Guernsey, if that's an actual country.
Josh Butler obviously didn't get any that day. But look, he's a serious bowler, this guy. I've seen him in the IPL. Punter put the paddle up for him for the Delhi Daredevils. He came in late, played a few games when they were struggling and made a huge impact for them and did well. And, obviously in the Associate Leagues, he's been a phenomenal player. And he'll do well here, of course, because, you know, traditionally, you know, our players struggle against good leg spin. We've seen that against Shadab Khan and Samuel Badri.
Well, they continue to be a threat. You know, Brisbane Heat have signed Afghanistan's Majeed. You know, I saw him in the IPL, it was just happy days. He's bowling his leggies and there's offies, and He's nice and tall, gets bounce, a constant threat and spin to win in T20 cricket.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, we paid, I think, around $850,000 for Mujeeb in an auction for the IPL.
So half your coaching fee?
Well, I coach for the love of the game. Just give back to the community. But R. Ashford was one who was big on this guy. Said that, you know, he wanted something different. He'd seen him before, and the tricks that he had was outstanding. He'll come here and dominate Mujeeb, for sure. He's an outstanding talent. And one of those different, you know, players which, you know, traditionally we never see them here. The sort of self-taught, self-coached cricket players that just get out in the backyard and find a way. You know, bowl a douche, bowl a wrong, and bowl a leggy without any thought about technique or, you know, that sort of coaching. It's really phenomenal,
about getting a good result down the other end, and the batsman has to deal with it.
Yeah, 100%. He struggled to speak a lot of English, Mujeeb, so we had sort of a translator. The simple message was just bowl the stumps, and he just nod your head, yes, coach, that's it. And he had no idea what you were talking about.
Did you pass on a little bit of Aussie slang?
Oh, he probably heard it a few times. He actually broke his thumb in the second last game, of which we needed to win. And, you know, he bowled one over, and of course we took that X factor out of our game. We ended up losing, and I think I was in the dressing room, and he probably heard a few Australian obscenities, which he'd never heard before.
Yeah, really good story there, Bradley. Good ending too, because you lost your job, so maybe a broken finger might have helped to that. Hey, time for the segment that, let's be honest, all celebrities around the world, particularly Hollywood, too scared to post stuff on social media, because if they show any opportunity of self-promotion or promoting brands, there is one man who's going to nail him, and that's you, Bradley Hodge. Who have we got in line this week?
Mate, I'm all over for the social media self-promoter this week. We've got a couple of cricket players, which is pretty cool.
Good.
Look, there's one person who's been leading the charge pretty heavily on the social media post. I'm not sure why, hashtag no spin, but anyway, I'll get to his name is, I'm not sure how many tests he played or whether he was that good, but his name's Shane Warne.
Sean?
And Sean or Shane?
Shane Warne, yep.
No, someone down the street told me he was pretty good, so I'll go with that. But there was a guy named Shane Warne who, all this week, one of the ones was, thanks for having me on your terrific show at Lee Sales. Now, if you don't know who Lee Sales is, she's on the ABC on 7:30 Report. I hope people are enjoying our interview and also enjoying my new book, hashtag No Spin.
Yeah.
We just reached number 2 in the bestsellers list in the UK. So lift Australia, we can't let those comms beat us. Ha ha.
Who's number one over there?
No idea.
Might be Peter Such. Peter Such, they might prefer off spinners over there.
Maybe. Okay. But yeah,
there's a couple there though, isn't there?
But we probably know that Warnie's never watched Channel 2 in his life, the ABC, because he's a Channel 9 man for a start.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's Fox now, isn't he?
Fox Sports.
We know that he's promoting his book in a secret way for us to go out and buy it and not let the Poms win. And that's just lying in his own pockets. So good one there, Warnie.
No spin.
He's got another one. It follows on from this. A big day in Tasmania signing my new book, hashtag no spin. Thank you all to those down the Apple Isle, blah, blah, blah. And again, I don't think Warnie ventures to the Apple Isle too often at all.
No.
Unless he's selling a book or two. And he's active again, actually.
Three nominations.
That's why he's been a big player. And this is what happens when you come back to the Melbourne Shores. He's been busy. He is a busy man. But it's also thank you to Mark and Con at Super Finish, which is a car dealership in South Road, Moorabbin. And it's a photo of his brand new GLE, I think it is, 63, wrapped in black. Enjoy my new drive to Geelong, blah, 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 hashtag no spin. So he's trotting off down there to Geelong to vlog his book. So it's just been...
You know what he's doing.
We know exactly what he's doing there. So... I'll move on to the He's a really good friend of Warnie's, actually. His name's Steve Waugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe he's dedicated a chapter to him in his book.
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, obviously, you know, they played a lot together, so they're pretty positive. But Steve Waugh is he's on Instagram, and he's been overseas a lot lately, Tugger. He's promoting his captain's right, which is great, but he's also, he did some work over in Sweden. Maybe he caught up with the four listeners. But
yes, definitely.
He was commenting on the state of Australian cricket, just saying, look, give him a break. It's a pretty tough game, blah, blah, blah. But on his Instagram post, it just had a picture of his baggy green.
Huh?
Now, Tugger, if you're saying that it's not that easy, are you promoting yourself showing that you're one of only 450 representatives in Australian cricket to get that baggy green? We know what you're trying to do,
yeah,
buddy. We know.
Was it the old one? Was it the old baggy green or the one, newer one he got later in career?
It's a good question, actually.
It looked a bit new to me.
Yeah, it looked a bit new. And look, maybe he's lucky enough to get a couple. He was captain of Australia, of course.
Oh, where's your baggy green, Brett?
It's in the cupboard here, actually. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, somewhere in there. She cleaned the car earlier.
But still fits, case, still fits.
I don't try it on, to be honest. I don't think I officially retired from Test match cricket, actually, so I'm just keeping it there just in case I get a call from Trevor Holmes to see if he wants me back. Next one. This person was very cagey, actually. And it says, great day at the Metropolitan Golf Club with my good friend, at Brendan Favola.
That person
was Damien Fleming, who was at the...
It's a charity event. I'm looking after the charity, sort of.
Well, the charity hasn't actually begun, has it?
No, there's no charity.
No, we know it's no charity. We're there promoting the
World Cup of Golf. World Cup of Golf in November at Metro.
World Cup of Golf, that's it. But we know... We know you're there promoting golf, getting a free game of golf, probably a free cup of balls as well.
Three.
But I was more devastated that I then looked up Fev's Instagram post, and there's you two fluffing around again promoting the Metropolitan Golf Club and all sorts of...
Well, he's a celebrity. Clubs. He comes second in the Best Young Talent in the Commercial Radio Awards a couple of weeks ago. He's been on air for 3 years, new talent, and he lost to Glenn Denyon, who must be 40. So he's a superstar, Fev.
Right, okay. Well, he probably doesn't need the promotion there. No, he does
if he's going to win it. If he's going to win Best New Talent in his fourth year. But no, I better take those votes. Yep.
All right. Now, speaking of making some runs, Matthew Wade's partner, Julia Wade, I caught her. She was in a spa treatment called Chakra Midi Spa.
Oh.
Now, I don't know too much about this, but I asked my wife, and she said... This particular treatment, where they stick needles into your skin to make your skin look really good and pretty. Well, she's already pretty anyway, so I'm not sure why she's actually going down this path. But we know, and I know, that this particular procedure was done on the house.
Oh.
For Julia has to post it on Instagram. So, Julia, you don't escape the social media yourself.
No, we're all over that.
You have been caught. Bad luck. And the last one I want to move to is a good friend of mine, and he's going to terrorise some Australian batsmen this year, and it's R. Ashwin. And Ash was on there promoting Johnson's Baby Powder, or at Johnson's Baby Powder India. Now, I've never seen him apply any sort of powder at all to the nether regions ever when he's played cricket, so... I'll go on. It says, other than that, it's been my top priority. Let me repeat, top priority. To give my girls gentle care with my favourite, gentle care with my favourite products, blah, blah, blah. All you Johnsons, I'm so glad I chose. #chose. Get gentle with at Johnson's Baby Powder India.
No, that's a hat trick right there.
Oh, my.
That's a hat trick right there.
Yep. So...
he won't be sending the Johnson & Johnson to the Australian left-handers in the batting lineup this summer.
Yep, absolutely. And just an honourable mention. There's two honourable mentions, really. One's to the great Greg Norman, who it probably didn't deserve self-promotion as such, but he was performing half-naked again, as he usually does. Having a manicure and pedicure, and just explaining to the world that if you have time, go and treat yourself to one of these.
Well, we don't have time, Normo. We've got work to do. We've got podcasts to do, Greg.
We don't have $9 billion to play golf every day and go for pedicures and manicures.
Well, he won the self-promoter last year. I think he's going to do it. Who else have we got?
We got one more, which is Mitchell Starc's brother, Brandon, who's obviously returned to...
he's a star.
And I just thought I'd make mention, because it's a very... very extremely poor effort to try and copy Michael Clark or Mitchell Johnson in the gym. At least Mitchell lifts some heavy tin. This was probably.
But Pup's just working on his calves. I just feel that's the one deficiency he feels he's got physically. And they're tough to pump up your calves.
Well, we haven't seen much from Pup lately. He's probably reeling from that. That job thing that he was trying to be talked about earlier. But anyway.
It's getting into the summer, though. I'd say Michael will start hitting the gym a little bit.
Yeah, he'll come. But Brandon, just after gym sessions, posted, immediate post-training gym fuel at Yo Pro.
Oh, okay.
And blah, 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 hashtag fuel your journey. We just want you to get over the bar, mate. That's it.
Get a gold medal.
Yeah, just get a gold one.
Gold medal, and they'll come to you. You don't need to be plugging as you're jumping over the big high jump there. No.
We don't need that. Your brother bowls pretty fast, and he's a superstar of the game. You just get yourself ready. It's get another couple of years before you get some air time. But we know what you're doing, buddy.
We know, and I'm going to give him one vote. I'm going to go Julia Wade 2, Ashwin Fleming for Vola all 3, Steve Waugh 4 and Shane Warne, no spin, for 3 nominations. I'm going to have to give him 3 each. I'm giving him a 9.
Yeah, that's a fair.
You happy with that?
It's been hugely... he's been out of this world on social media this week.
And what we've been appreciating, though, Hodge, is people dobbing in these celebrities. So thanks. Keep that going. But that was the Brad Hodge Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Hey, mate, we had a poll question. They were just on the back of Justin Langer talking about, picking characters over cover drives, and then also saying that he's been opened up a little bit talking to a golfer, a golfing coach who talked about, give me a golfer who's got a good technique and poor mental skills over a golfer who's got poor technique and strong mental skills, because his philosophy was, if the golfer's hitting the fairway 8 times out of 10, I can work on his mental game. But if a golfer is always hitting him in the trees, it's not going to matter how mentally tough he is. He's not going to get on the green in regulation. So I went with the 4 options were character over cover drives, characters who cover drive, characteristic cover drivers, and your nomination, just get the fast bowlers to bat in the top 6. And 40% of the votes went to the people want, they want characters who happen to have a cover drive. 40% of the votes.
Well,
you were a cover driver and a character.
Yeah, I think there's merit in that. I think yesterday the Australians forgot about that. It's difficult to know. I've got 20. He was in the top 6, I think, pretty early. And our good friend Jason Gillespie nailed him as well. He got 200 batting up the order.
He was more a defensive nudge through the covers. Big, but remember our old coach, our old sage, Les Stillman. Remember his big philosophy one year was, show me a man who wants to cover drive, and you are showing me a man who wants to get out.
Yeah, I remember him saying that many times, and I sort of disagree with Les a fair bit about that. In fact,
I love playing the cover drive.
Who doesn't love playing the cover drive? We saw on cricket.com.au promoting the extra cover shot of Damien Martin over mid-off for 6.
No one better.
It was the most glorious shot ever. Who doesn't want to see a cover drive?
Cover drive and the pull shot, but no one was better than Damien Martin. I remember when he retired, I was working on the commentary of the great Mark War, and I said, Damien Martin, if I had to pick a perfect Australian batsman I played with, it would be Damien Martin hitting through the offside, and yeah. It would be you, Junior, Mark War, hitting through the leg side, and without a second's pause, he goes, hey, Flemmo, I think I was pretty strong through the offside as well. It's Marky War gold, wasn't it? Didn't take the compliment. He's just thinking, what about my offside play?
Nah, he knows straight away. He's onto that. Without a second thought whatsoever, Junior War. It's brilliant, and it's not surprising. We love him for that.
Now, Bradley, we've got to get you going. You've got to get onto LinkedIn and start getting these opportunities. Just quickly on the way out, Cricket Australia releasing two of their reviews on Monday. We've got word that Paddy Howard, the high performance manager, will be leaving midway through 2019. No extension, or he won't be seeking that. That's got you written all over it, hasn't it? High performance manager.
Hey, I never thought of that. Actually.
Yes.
I better get the stuff together.
You might have to move to Brisbane.
Has that been announced before the reviews come out again? Is that like we've appointed a lot of people before the reviews come out again, as in the past?
Yes.
I just feel that we're getting the wrong way around. Let the review come out first, and then assess whether you want to stay on or keep going or get the sack.
Are you comfortable? We will be reviewing the reviews at next Bowlology Report. Are you happy to do that? Can you scrutinise? I mean, you've got a bit of time.
Look, I'm very comfortable in that.
Just proofread them.
What was the last one called again?
Argus Review.
Argus Review.
Yep.
Well, that was pretty crappy. I mean, really, all that had. What did they pay that guy? How much money to come out and say, bowl at the stumps, hit the ball, and make more, score runs, take wickets, and you'll be fine. Okay. And win games.
You might have just done the review there, Bradley. Okay, that's it from the Bowlology Report. Just a little bit of... I've just got a little bit of a note here. Just apologies to all the cricket fans in the country, Guernsey. You were correct. It's just outside of UK. And what a place to travel to. You know, the beaches, the wineries, the golf courses, and, of course, the cricket. And good luck to them in their associates... or the campaign to get into the World Cup. No doubt they'll do it at some stage. But Bradley, we'll catch up next week.
We will do, Flem. Thank you.
Keep swinging.
Guernsey.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.